The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis & Davis. We're not a real law firm.
Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Welcome back to the Davis and Davis Show.
Hi, Scott. Good to hear you again. Damn cough button.
Poisoned
by your own petard. Mind if I give you a little bit of trivias and stuff that I found doing a little bit of research?
Sure.
Okay. So I know that you did not see the Guardian special, but understanding that Nebula gave Rocket Bucky's arm as a Christmas present, Rocket was so happy about that he is the one that made the nanotech arm for Nebula that turns into weapons and everything. Now we remember in Infinity War, the Nova Corps was pretty much wiped out. The Guardians of the Galaxy are kind of the de facto crime stoppers now. Remember in the beginning of the film when Quill was super drunk and Nebula just picked him up and carried him, and that's when they were playing Creep?
Oh, yeah.
That was a rubber mannequin that weighed 34 pounds and looked exactly like Chris Pratt. It was kind of freaky. Volume 3 was released the same week as the 15th anniversary of Iron Man and the start of the MCU. PETA, P-E-T-A, declared the film as the best animal rights film of the year, giving James Gunn a reward for his depiction of the cruelty surrounding animal testing. At the end of the film, and if we have not told you spoiler alerts by now, there's spoiler alerts. 2023 is the 50th anniversary of Red Bone's recording of Come and Get Your Love, and it returned at the very end in the mid-credit sequence, and it's a very much a 50th anniversary celebration for that song.
So I guess we should get into the film.
Let's get into it.
Guardians of the Galaxy is one. Little bit of a sleeper. Guardians of the Galaxies 2, not a sleeper, total freaking action and tons of fun. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, fucking dark.
But nobody died. Not even the guy at the end. No, he's confirmed as being held the I want to say High Inquisitor, the High Evolutionary, is being held in a cell in nowhere. So nobody, like, we all expected like a major character to die. Nobody died.
How is that fun?
Well, at least it's not as dark as it could have been.
No, the darkness comes in with the, okay, so like with that first scene, we have Chris Pratt drunk as a skunk. We have the song Creep playing, which, ladies and gentlemen, is my national anthem after being married to Sandy Rodriguez, Rushmore Rodriguez, Gromit Rodriguez, Davis Rodriguez, Zeiger Rodriguez, don't know what it is now.
I never will get tired of that, just so you know.
Thank you. No, the song Creep, when Radiohead wrote that, it was kind of the national anthem for anyone who was
an outsider.
Yeah. Ostracized for being different.
Yeah.
And I was a different kid. I'm a different adult.
You're a different older person.
You're gonna make
me call you an adult per se, but yeah, okay.
But to have that as almost the anthem of the movie was brilliant, because all the guys that are in this is really, it's like Firefly.
Yeah, very much
on
so.
Steroids.
They're all
outcasts.
Broken in some way. They're all outcasts in some way. They all have issues.
So I guess the main story in this is Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is a look back on Rocket's creation, really.
And the weird thing is, like, Gunn kind of hinted that this whole series, that Rocket was the main protagonist.
Yeah.
Throughout all of this. And it's kind of cool, because like the first movie is about the mom. The second movie is about the dad. And the third movie is really about the self.
Yeah. And I mean, the stuff that Rocket went through, I'm not the type of person to cry at anything. When,
oh, it was a rough one, man.
When they showed that cage that he was in, and I was sitting there going, I've got 9 cats, and if my cats lived in a box with feces all over it like that, I'd shoot myself. But then the whole implant stuff and it was just very hard to go through. This was not your happy joy Guardians of the Galaxies. This was, I mean, it turns out to be in the end,
but it's a tough journey getting there.
But it's an extremely tough journey to get there, and having to watch Rocket
go through all that.
Well, not just go through all that, but it's all done as basically a recreation in his mind after he had been injured.
He's on death's door, and it's kind of like your life flashing before your eyes kind of thing. Yeah.
And it was just the way that Gunn filmed it and had it come out, it takes you to that whole point of your own mortality. You know, how much shit did you go through? You know, this poor little raccoon who acts like a human being, has been through some pretty nasty shit.
Yep.
And it was disturbing to watch for a little bit.
But I'll tell you what, after watching this one, like I'm thinking back on the second one where they crash on that one planet and he's all pissy because they're all leaving him and stuff like that. I get it now. I get why he was pushing everybody away and trying, you know, it's like, I understand where he's coming from now, and it makes a lot more sense. And we're talking about a trash panda. It might as well be a Muppet. Yeah, but still, you get you right in the feels, man. It's tough.
I'm sorry. I just looked at my tidbit and I saw something.
Focus.
Mine must get back on.
Shiny things. Turn that thing off.
But the High Evolutionary, the character that made Rocket what Rocket was,
he's one of the most purely evil people I think I've ever seen in an MCU movie. He had no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
None. And I mean, as time went on, he was implanting himself with the same stuff that he was implanting in these biological beings that he was creating. And as time went on, it was almost like Gunn was basically saying, it's great to have the bionics and stuff like that to help people in certain aspects and all that, but the danger of somebody becoming, as it says here, an evolutionary character.
Yeah.
He was trying to create his own world. And he did so. And
that's doing something weird, sorry.
When he sat back and went, this isn't working, he blew it up and started over.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
I tell you, the really telling bit about how soulless he was is when he was do we spoil the end where he's killing all of Rocket's friends and Rocket is screaming and he's like mock screaming with him the same way that like Wild Bill did in Silence of the Lambs. You're like, oh, this dude is just a pure sociopath. He is just, you know, the ultimate narcissist ever.
Well,
it's just
that's better words than what I used. I was sitting there going, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Like I said, this was not the happy, happy, joy, joy Guardians of the Galaxies that you dealt with. And even in Avengers, when everyone was dying, Iron Man dies, you know, all that. You still kind of have this happy, happy, joy, joy thing. And halfway through this movie, I was like, this really sucks because nobody's winning.
Yes. Yeah.
Except for the High Evolutionary, who's basically making an army for himself. But in the end, after Rocket is fixed and all that, yeah, I guess the positive aspects of it, and this is something that PETA was big on and all that, was that they showed them saving everyone.
Every life form, not just everything. The higher life forms, yeah.
You know, and that was one of the comments that was made. I thought we were just saving the higher
life forms, yeah.
The higher evolution.
No, it was one of the guys on Nowhere, and he's like, I thought we were just saving the higher life forms, and nope, everybody. Okay.
Which is really kind of dude, it kind of became a Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
At the end. The Chris Pratt. How do I say this? The guy is incredibly talented.
I will agree with you.
I love his character. I love the fact that he makes flubs and Gunn keeps it in the movie.
Yeah, the first one in the first movie is when he dropped the ball holding the orb, the Infinity Stone. He reaches down, picks it back up, and holds it back up like, I got it, you know. And it was just so Star-Lord, he had to keep it in.
It's just it's a great character. I could have done without all of the I love you, Gamora, in this one. But the writing had to kind of change.
Yeah.
Because although we kind of killed off Gamora. Yeah.
Although I do love the fact that now Gamora cannot understand Groot. And she's in the same place that Quill was in the first movie. It's like, yeah. I heard you the first 28 times. Will you shut up?
Now, Groot's character was brilliant.
Swole Groot.
Swole. When he loses his entire body,
and
all he has is the head with like the four little limbs.
And he just straight out of the thing.
He looks up and goes, I am Groot. You're like, oh my God, this is hilarious.
Cosmo was the dog.
No, not Cosmo. The Gamora's sister.
Nebula.
Nebula. Nebula. In all of the Guardians of the Galaxy's movies, has transformed into something a little bit different, but I love this character.
But you also have to remember that the snap happened, and only Rocket and Nebula lived those extra 5 years alone, working with a team, blah, blah, blah. They've had a little more time to grow than the rest of the mm-hmm. group. But she's always been really interesting to watch.
Gamora's always been my favorite, but you have one of the hottest actresses out there playing her. So I don't know how. I don't even like.
I just like the fact that like she started hating his guts, and it got to the point where she started kind of liking him. Like, okay, I don't hate you entirely. Because he did something really dickish to somebody. And she just smirked like that. That was a good one. I like that. Just good bits. Good little.
This movie was a great culmination. Gunn did a fabulous job of pulling crap out of each movie and giving it to them to banter with. Now, we already talked about the elevator scene, but that was absolutely brilliant how he sat there and basically slammed Disney for killing off one of his characters before his last movie came out. So she fell down this hill. It was magical hill, and all of a sudden she's alive again and she's not the same person. I don't know. Yeah, Gamora, you gotta love her. Bautista's character, we already discussed. We discussed, I guess it's the last character that we need to discuss is our friendly, I don't want to say friendly Asian lady. Is she really Asian? She has.
Yeah. You're talking about Mantis?
Yeah, Mantis. Mantis turns out to be the glue in this whole thing. She bitches at everyone to tell them to shut up.
Yeah. She's coming into her own. She's starting to stand her ground now, which is hilarious.
And that whole scene where Bautista's character looks at her and goes, "Well, just touch him."
Yeah.
Well, not like that.
Touch him, make him feel good. I mean, not like that. But...
she has the ability that if she touches you in the right place and speaks a command, you believe it.
Well, she's an empath, so she makes you feel stuff. Like she can put you to sleep and all that kind of stuff. And...
great part of the film, which this was, I think, the second or third time we've seen her do this, but she touched the one guard and said, "You're in love with Bautista."
Yeah. You keep doing that. Okay, I found it. Her father is Russian and French, and her mother was Korean.
Really?
Tom's got an interesting background. Yeah. Russian, French, and Korean. Sorry. Shouldn't have told Scott that. All she needs is a uniform, and
it's just the antennas that really get me. So did you know that James Gunn was fired as the director?
You mean during the show? I knew he was fired previous to this movie.
Previous to this movie, he had been fired after Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Bautista, Drax, basically said he would not come back.
Yeah, he'd break his contract.
Mm-hmm. His exact quote was, "I'm not okay with what's happening to him." And Bautista stated he would demand to be released from his contract from the studio if the studio did not use the screenplay Gunn had originally written. Gunn was promptly rehired. All right, so before we get into extra trivia and all that stuff, mm-hmm. Tell me what you thought about the movie.
Overall, I really enjoyed it. I loved getting all these arcs kind of complete, or seeing these people kind of heal themselves and being not so broken. And honestly, it had one of the best fight scenes maybe in the entire MCU. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, short of Endgame, the hallway scene at the end.
Well, there were two fight scenes that were actually pretty good. That would be Warlock in the beginning.
Now, the fight scene in the hallway when they're fighting all the bad guys was, I mean, it was done as if it was one long shot, but there was so much going on. I watched a video where they slowed it down and you're like, "Oh my God, how did I miss all this?"
Groot pulling out the 14 guns.
Yeah,
the one that time, was fun. You were like, "Oh, we're going to have a fight."
There's some mention of like his race feeds off of not just sunlight and water, but like the energy of the people around him. Well, he's around. Well,
it's the knowledge of the people around him, which becomes their light,
yeah,
which causes him to photosynthesize and get larger. And they did bring up, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was like okay. One of the points that I had here.
Okay.
His whole growth pattern is based upon the people that he's around.
And like two of them are half celestial.
Yeah. But they said that they talked about how Groot went from a baby to basically a 20-year-old in three movies. And it was, he grew that quickly because of the knowledge that was around him. Honestly, every one of the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy, from Chris Pratt's character Quinn,
Quill,
Drax, Groot,
Mantis, Nebula, Rocket.
Yeah. All of them are smart in their aspects of life. And that's what caused Groot to grow as quickly as he did. It was a really, you know, you probably saw the same interview or show that I saw, because all of this was talked about. And I would say, out of all the Marvels that there are, this one's probably the most intricate because of the amount of characters that you have. Each of them have the same amount of screen time, which makes them all kind of equal. You know, Iron Man is about Iron Man.
Yeah.
Captain America is about Captain America. Thor's about Thor. This is a group of five people that there's six people. Well, I'm so
seven.
So the funny thing is that I'm counting them by the picture that's behind Burke's head.
But my head covers two of them.
But his head covers two of them. Anyways,
darn my thick cranium.
So what else did you think about this flick? And then I'll give my little synopsis, and then we'll give some trivia.
And I think Star-Lord needs to quit jumping into outer space and getting frozen, because three freaking films in a row.
All right, Chris Pratt's character. Which, when his face blew up like that, I kind of sat back and went, nope, he's finally dead. No.
The visuals in this film were truly outstanding. There was something like 23,000 prosthetics used in this film. I also like the fact that, like, every place they went, it was a very defined environment. So like, you know, you were here, like the, you know, the color scheme, everything is like, every place you went, it was a very different look. I loved the Ogle Corp. Is that what it's called? Orgosphere, the medical outpost. I mean, it's like a living building. And that was another like jab at Disney for being the, you know, big corporate, all worried about nothing but money kind of thing. So that was kind of fun too.
So here's a little bit of trivia for you. Well, actually, I guess I should say, I already said my high points, the low points with this flick. Is this my number one Guardians of the Galaxies? It's up there.
I'd still have to go with number one just because it took me off guard. I was flabbergasted by how good it was compared to anything I'd seen before. It was like watching Star Wars for the first time, kind of. Holy crap. I mean, from from the first song in the opening credits, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
I think there's something to say for a director that bases a lot of what he's going to film off of music. And this, how old is Gunn?
He's like our age, isn't he? Keep sure. Clicking off the IMDb page. I should just leave it here.
Where's your bio? Born 1966.
He's slightly older than me.
St. Louis, Missouri. Everything I know about filmmaking, I learned from The Toxic Avenger. No, you got to give him a ton of credit. I mean, any of us that grew up in the 80s, which means that we were born in the 60s, any of us that grew up in the 80s have a special place for music. Music is really important to all of us.
Yeah.
When something bad happens, what do? You delve yourself into music and either pull yourself out of the sad dumb or shoot yourself.
We chose music, thank goodness.
We'll have to edit that in post. but it's true. I mean, music is very important to the way that you live your lifestyle. We didn't have streaming services.
We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the internet.
We didn't talk
about our feelings.
We didn't have pronouns, damn it.
We weren't allergic to gluten.
Oh, you saw that video.
We're feral children. Don't fuck with us.
She was great. That's a great video. The bit that you said we weren't allergic to gluten, I was like, I know what video he saw.
We came home when the streetlights came on.
Yes. I mean, it was a really good movie.
Yeah. I think I probably liked it slightly better than number two. Two had some good stuff in it, but I definitely like this better than number two. Does it beat number one?
Nothing beats number one.
Yeah, number one. Yeah, it's just, yeah. And it falls into that classic category. Well, no, yeah. Like the first movie's awesome. The second one's meh. The third one's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's a pretty... Other than Star Trek, most movies fall into that pattern.
Yeah. Let's see here. Thor Ragnarok director Taika
Waititi
was widely rumored to take over as director for James Gunn after he was fired.
Taika said he wouldn't have anything to do with it because... It's not his child, you know? Be like touching somebody else's child. Well, not that way, but, you know.
His actual quote is, that would be like going into someone's house and saying, hey, I'm your new dad.
Yeah.
And this is how we make peanut butter sandwiches now. It feels kind of awkward. Cosmos Sex is
She's a girl.
Female in the film. Yeah. As a tribute to
is it Laika? Was that her name? The first Laika. Dog to go into space with the Russian space agency
and die.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
James Gunn based The High Evolutionary and his Counter-Earth on H.G. Wells' dark sci-fi tale, The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Did you know? That makes sense, yeah. There are three callbacks in this movie to the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. The brightly colored spacesuits when they go down to Oglecorp. The girl running in that stationary circle in front of the High Evolutionary. And when they invade the Orgoscope, it's bathed in red light just when they were turning off Hal. So, and that comes from James himself.
Hal.
Sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Nathan Fillion's plays Master Karja. Fillion's has appeared in each Guardians of the Galaxy's movie. Each time playing a different role in Guardians of the Galaxy's, Fillion's voiced CGI character, Monstrous Inmate. In Volume 2, he appeared on the film poster in the background as actor Simon Williams, aka Wonder Man,
which is actually an MCU or a Marvel character, believe it or not.
In this film, Drax refuses to share his Zargnuts with Mantis. This is because in the Guardians of the Galaxy's holiday special, she ate all of them without his permission.
Were the Zargnuts? I ate them. Those were my Zargnuts.
That was a great part of the flick. Can I have one? No, I'm out.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Oh my god. I love seeing Yondu again. Almost like Obi-Wan Force Ghost kind of there as a, you know, letting Kraglin know to, you can do it. You can do this thing, man. You got this.
Oh, this one you already mentioned, the first MCU movie to have an uncensored use of the word fuck. Guys, if you don't want an uncensored use of the word fuck, please come to the Davis and Davis show. The character Adam Warlock was going to appear in Guardians of the Galaxies 2, but his scene was cut by Gunn, who felt it would end up having too many characters.
Yeah. It really didn't fit that story.
Nobody made it to the Avengers.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool when they let, when the evolutionary said that he invented the sovereign, the gold people, they're his creation.
All right. Did you hear about this? The Twitter question?
Mm-mm.
A fan asked writer-director James Gunn on Twitter if there was actually a change in Drax's look as to them it looked, wait.
Why he's wearing clothes?
Looked like Drax actually had a slight green tint to him. But Gunn confirmed that Drax has always been gray in the MCU and gave three very specific reasons for the decision. Now, before I go any further, I'll have to explain this. In the comic series, Drax is green.
With purple.
Yeah. Now we'll find out why. Gave three very specific reasons for the decision. Drax has always been gray. Three reasons. The
green screen.
The MCU has more than enough green people. Number two, with makeup, there is no color more difficult to make look like skin than green. And number three, Drax may love Christmas, but he isn't Christmas. In other words, he's not going to be red and green.
That, I mean, I know they use a lot of blue screen, but they also still use green screen, and that would make that really difficult.
All right. Do you know the Cree language?
I know of the Cree language. I don't know it, but okay. I know that the signs said, well, actually, the Guardians of the Galaxy was in the Cree language was above the bar.
Yeah, that was the sign that Groot and
Cosmo. The dog. I think the dog put
it. No, it was the girl.
Nebula.
Oh shit, it's written right there. Dumbass. Yes, the sign that Nebula and Groot put up says in Cree, Guardians of the Galaxies. Now,
there's a couple other signs here and there in Cree also. I just can't remember them off the top of my head.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the big one. In all three movies, whenever
a title card comes up as to where they are,
there is coordinates.
And they are actually Easter eggs.
Cryptic Easter eggs. Now, I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not going to tell you what they say. I want you to go find out on your own. But there are translators that you can go to.
Or you can cheat and just go on YouTube and find the translation for most of them.
Why do you have to ruin it for everyone?
Because I don't think I couldn't figure it out. I mean, it has taken like all of Reddit to figure out most of them, and they have not gotten all of them.
Dude, I didn't even know they were there until I saw this movie. And then I was like, oh, crap, these mean things.
Mm-hmm. You thought they were just coordinates? You were wrong.
No, he's saying stuff to you through the whole movie. Oh, that is cool as shit. All right, people, we're about to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to rate this movie. Then we're going to get our asses out of here. Remember, DavisandDavisShow.com.
All sorts of stuff to look at, and all of our episodes are there, and pictures, and all sorts of fun stuff. What other website do we have?
Oh, we have the DavisandDavisShow.com for all of your merchandising needs. If you need a picture of Burke on the back of your shirt, we have it.
Have we had a single sale yet?
Taking mighty shit.
That's all I got to say about that.
Now, I'll tell you what. You ought to put up a couple cups. I mean, somebody might buy a Yeti mug or something like that with our logo. That would be kind of cool.
Well, actually, I'm going to start producing Yeti mugs and stuff here at the house with the new laser printer.
Yeah. Is it a laser?
It is a laser. All right. On that note, we're going to go out of this segment with the last song from this movie.
That is awesome. I love it. It's just, this song to me seems like it should have been done in like the 60s maybe, but it's got such a great indie vibe to it. It's awesome.
There are people that dance and there are people that don't dance,
but you notice how he did end up dancing at the end.
Yes, I,
because he's a daddy again.
Love that guy. All right, guys. We've got 43 seconds. I need to get out of here because I have to pee. We'll be right back.
All the good beer.
Thank you. Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Wonder where you sounds that can't be made. They'll sing in you from somewhere inside your head. You'll never hear them from the earth or the
The most hated band by Bert.
Was that Marillion?
Oh, yes.
I didn't say I hated them. I just don't appreciate them as much as you do. Oh. That's why there's all sorts of different music out there for all sorts of different people.
I don't know why I like them so much. Like, I even...
It doesn't matter.
I even sat down and listened the one day, and I listened to it as, like, a music professional. And mm-hmm. I was like, this guy's voice really sucks.
Okay, but that doesn't matter. It's do you enjoy it? I mean, it is literally like... Some people like Rocky Road ice cream and some people like vanilla. It's like, why do you like vanilla? Vanilla's good, you know, but it's just not for everybody. It doesn't matter. It's what you like. Don't ever care about what people think about you. Just enjoy what you enjoy.
You know, I've
drink bourbon with ginger ale, and that just sets off bourbon and, you know, purists to no end.
Yeah.
Screw you. I love bourbon and ginger ale, and I'm going to drink my bourbon with ginger ale. So
there's very few bands in the world that I can sit back and go, I turn it on and I calm down. And this is just one of those bands. Like, I get into my happy place.
That's all that matters, man. All right, I got two little pieces of trivia here.
All right, buddy. Give it to me.
Their new ship is called the Bowie, named after David Bowie.
You know that there were three ships.
Yes, and they were all named after people that either that Gunn or Peter Quill would like. The first one was the girl from the Witch series. The Milano after Alyssa Milano.
Yes.
The second one was the Benatar after Pat Benatar.
Yes.
This is the Bowie, named after David Bowie, who Gunn wanted David Bowie to do a cameo for Guardians 2. Unfortunately, Bowie passed away right before filming took place, so he could not get him in there, which I thought would have been fucking great. That interior set for that Bowie ship was four stories tall. That's a big interior. I mean, that's a big set piece. And at the very end of the film, Groot speaks up and says, I love you guys.
Yeah, it's the first time that Groot says something besides, I am Groot.
No, it's not that. It's you as the audience have been around these guys and grown up with them all, you now understand Groot speak. And Gunn actually confirmed this. It's a translation convention. We have grown so close to these characters that we now understand Groot.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I didn't even realize that.
That's why, like, nobody turned around and looked at him strangely. He was speaking Groot. We just understand it now.
So, do you remember talking about that 35-pound model?
Yeah.
Do you?
I think it sits in James Gunn's office right now and scares the hell out of people.
Actually, Karen Gillian owns the 35-pound lifelike model of Chris Pratt. That Chris Pratt found himself to be horrifying. In this film, Counter-Earth is an artificial copy of Earth.
Yeah, from like the 70s, basically. And I gotta admit, I loved the aesthetic of that place. I really did. I found myself wanting them to explore that world more. I thought it would have been fascinating.
Counter-Earth in the comics is a synthetic version of Earth created by the High Evolutionary and placed a microsecond out of dimension sink in order to hide it from Earth.
Interesting.
So no matter what, even though it was in the universe, you couldn't.
It was out of our perception range.
Yeah, you couldn't get to it.
Yep.
I love our trivia. I do. Orgo Corp. Orgo, meaning organic or carbon-based, is the High Evolutionary's corporate front for the cybernetic parts and implants used around the galaxy. The fact that in Guardians of the Galaxies 2, Yondu, new scientist-made rocket, reveals that this galaxy knows who the High Evolutionary is. And just looks the other way when it comes to his experiments on lower life forms.
Well, I mean, they were ravagers. They're into illegal stuff anyway. But yeah, you get the corporate front, and then you got what he's doing on the side.
They're pirates?
They're kind of pirates, yes. But I'm just saying the pirates themselves knew that, you know, you got the corporate front, and then he's doing some shady shit inside. I don't want to know about it.
When they opened Disneyland in 1956, nothing worked.
Yeah,
nothing.
But John, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists.
Yeah. This film marks the longest gap between the first film and third film in an MCU trilogy, 8 years and 10 months. Guardians of the Galaxies was released in 2014, and the last installment was released in 2023. Now, I do have to say this. We went through COVID.
And yeah, this film should have been out 3 years ago, easily.
Nothing was filmed for 2 years. So.
Nothing major.
Yeah.
They even Bond, like, they had to. The last James Bond film, they had to go back and reshoot stuff because technology in the 2 years had progressed. Like, they had to change out cell phones. There's a bunch of stuff they had to change just because it took them so long to get that film out. Any other cool little trivias you're finding there? I did not go to IMDb to look up trivia, so it's all you.
The second MCU film to use the song Heart Crazy on You was this film. It was first used in Captain Marvel's 2019 version when Carol's childhood memories are first shown. I don't know if
I sometimes forget that movie exists. It was just like, meh.
You know what? This is a show topic thing that we have to do, which is rate the Marvel Universe movies.
That's going to piss off somebody.
Oh, it's going to piss off somebody. But
I think that's actually on our list of stuff to do.
I think it is. I may move that up because that's something that that excites. After seeing this flick, I realized the dominance of the Marvel Universe over DC. And it was totally reversed when we were younger because Superman, Batman.
Oh, yeah. That dominated the TV waves. Oh my God, they made a Captain America TV series that was horrible. Yeah. Absolutely horrible. They made a Spider-Man TV series in the 70s that was slightly better and yet still absolutely horrible. The Incredible Hulk started, it was a little better.
Yeah, but
it was a little better. I mean, yeah, it was a little better.
That the thing about the Hulk as compared to the other Marvel universes is that we had a TV series that was cheesy as hell. And I think that kind of ruined what the Hulk was about. When the Hulk movies came out, I was actually a little more into it because it was closer to the comic books.
Source, yeah.
You know, the Hulk, the TV series, and I'm not knocking Lou Ferrigno or any of them.
Bill Bixby.
But it was the 70s when that came out. Yeah. 70s or 80s, I can't remember.
Late 70s, early 80s, probably, yeah.
And you're just not going to have the same quality that we have now. The Hulk movies that are out now, to die for. And they're based... I'm sorry, people.
All verklempt?
No, I'm or getting heartburn.
Belching your beer.
I'm getting heartburn like crazy.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the movies are more, they are closer to the, I think a lot of people got turned off with the Hulk because of the TV series. The TV series was cheese. And a lot of people didn't go and watch the movie because of the cheese that they went through.
Yeah. And the first couple Hulk movies weren't like officially MCU, although they kind of retconned the very last one a little bit. I mean, officially the MCU kind of started with Iron Man, but they kind of retconned that last one in there. But yeah, they got better, and then they looked better, and they were better. So, all right. So rate all Marvel movies. All right, got it on the list.
All right. Now, we kind of have to rate this movie.
I mean, for me, this is a top shelf movie for me. It's not a box movie, but. Right, it's definitely on top shelf.
So everyone knows we have shelf 1 through 5, and then we have the box.
The Hollywood locked.
We have
plexiglass box.
The box.
Best movies
ever.
Ever.
That's right.
It ain't a box.
Lone Wolf McQuaid's in there.
Spies like us.
every movie Scott's ever suggested to watch.
All winners.
Is in everyone. The box.
Ranger. Ranger. Ranger.
So you're going top shelf number one?
Yeah, it's close to being a 2 or a 1 or a top. But God, I love me some Guardians, man. It's like I think the second movie would be a second shelf for me.
Okay, that's the question I was just about to ask you.
Guardians is damn close to being a box movie.
Give me the first movie. What do you have there?
It's damn near a box. The first Guardians movie, it could be a box. It could be in the box.
What about second movie?
Second shelf.
And the third movie.
It's 2-1. I'll tell you what. If I get to watch it again, I'll give it a definite rating. I'm going to put it at a 1.5 at this moment. It's somewhere between 2 and 1.
All right. For me, Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 is in the box.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 2 is on shelf number 2. And Guardians of the Galaxy number 3 is, I'm sorry to say, on shelf number 3. Or number 2.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
I
bet if you watch it a second time, there was so much good in this movie. I love seeing Lila and all his friends and everything. I love finally getting that backstory on Rocket and seeing why he was the way he was in all the other two movies.
So for me, I would have loved to have seen this movie kind of like the Solo movie for Star Wars. A turn off of the series, but based on Rocket's life. Now, The Star Wars series had several offshoot movies that came off that just discussed certain people's lives. One of them was Solo. It's not necessarily all Star Wars, but it's based on everything that Solo went through. And I would have rather they done that.
I think the problem is Gunn knew he couldn't do that and wanted to like wrap it all up because this is going to be his last hurrah probably with these guys. So,
well, I would agree with you on that. I think Gunn also got basically backstabbed with the Avengers series, with his characters being inputted into that, and that kind of it killed a lot of things. But I'm not going to argue about a Disney decision. You know, that's a corporation.
Might as well yell at the wind.
Yeah. It's a corporation. They're going to do what they have to do to make money. But I think that brought down my score of this flick. I may watch this film again and have a different regard for it. But I think Gunn was backed into a position because of everything that had evolved to where he couldn't advance it. Cinematography in this, phenomenal. The CGI, all of the computer graphics were just
all the practical was amazing in this one too.
You cannot put down anything on this film as far as audio, as far as video, as far as graphics go. The problem in lies with what Disney did through the whole thing to kind of ruin the storyline that was there. And I don't know how you fix that. Well, you can't fix it.
Done. It's what's done is done. So
Mr. Gunn's going to move on and do something phenomenal.
It'd be real interesting to see if he started outgrossing Disney with his films. That'd be pretty funny, actually.
Well, he's like the head of the DC unit now.
Yeah, he's like the Feige of DC at this point. So it's going to be real interesting to see where he takes this.
But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Guardians of the Galaxies. Go watch it. It's actually
it's a great flick.
It's a great flick. Be ready to cry. Be ready to laugh and be ready to sit back and go, that elevator scene was the best scene out of this whole movie. DavisandDavisShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Please go there. We have an episode guide. You can actually listen to all of our podcasts there.
And if you're interested in some merch needs, go to the DavisandDavisShow.com.
Yeah. Anything else for me and my friend?
That, as they say, is that.
We'll see you guys in a couple of days. Remember, new shows every Tuesday and Thursday. We're banked up on shows for a couple of weeks. So these are coming out a couple of weeks after we record them. Sorry about that. Enjoy it, though.
Everyone, have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
We're out of here.